Would she think I was weird? Probably. I'd end up having to eat lunch in the library or something. I chickened out before I even got one word out. Sigh. I was almost done with what I was hoping wasn't kangaroo meat when I felt someone drop into the empty seat beside me. I recognized the earthy scent as I glanced up. Kiara grinned. "Hey, Jaden."
"Yo,"
he said, sitting sideways in the chair with his arm propped on the table.
"You beautiful ladies looked lonely. Thought I'd come over and bless you with my presence."
Joe snorted. "Looks like you just woke up and got to school."
"Maybe I did."
Jaden went for my fries, ignoring Anna's narrowed gaze.
"Thanks, babe."
"You two know each other?" Joe gestured between Jaden and me with her fork. Before I could nod, he dropped an arm over my shoulders.
"She's my bae."
I grinned. "Bae?" Kiara sighed. "I hate that word. Do you know what it really means?"
"Poop,"
I answered without thinking, in Danish. My eyes widened. Holy crap, I'd spoken without hesitation at lunch. Holy crap! No one recognized my internal freakout over it, but I couldn't believe it. I sat there and spoke with no problem. I needed to give myself a cookie. Anna giggled. "Oh, man, I know, I know. Still think it's a cute word?" Across from her, Kiara rolled her eyes. "It literally means shit."
"Mallory is the shit, though,"
Jaden reasoned as he dropped his arm. I raised a brow. "Where's your brother at?" Joe asked. "I'll be his bae." Jaden snorted.
"Why? He's a loser. Me? I'm baby-faced fresh. He's old, crusty news."
Laughing, I brushed my hair over my shoulder as Joe wrinkled her nose. "Crusty?" she said. "That's not a word I normally associate with Hector."
"You should."
Jaden went back and forth with the girls for the rest of the lunch period, and he was something else. Hilarious. Oddly charming. In a few years, I bet he was going to be as much a handful as I imagined Hector was. I smiled so much listening to him that I wondered if I'd have premature wrinkles from it. The smile didn't go away when I ran into Ryder in the stairwell as I was making my way to speech. It was the first time I'd seen him today. Wearing another faded shirt and worn jeans, his hair a little disheveled, he looked like he might have slept through his last class. A lazy grin pulled at his lips.
"I was just coming for you."
My smile, unbelievably, kicked up a notch as I joined him on the landing. He wheeled around and walked beside me.
"I was thinking about the whole speech practice thing," he said. "You still want me to help you with that, right?"
A nervous flutter started deep in my belly. I wanted to practice with Ryder, but after what happened this morning, that would not be wise. I took a deep breath. "You don't have to do that. I mean, I'm sure you have better things to do."
"But I want to help you."
He caught the swinging door and held it open as he frowned.
"If I didn't, I wouldn't have offered."
I stepped through, forcing the words out. "I know, but..."
"I want to help you practice,"
he repeated, without a moment of hesitation, and that flutter in my stomach spread to my chest as we started down the stairs.
"Why wouldn't you want to practice?"
He paused.
"With me."
Glancing up at him as we rounded the landing, I saw the confusion in his hazel eyes. I bit the inside of my lip. "Damn it. I just wanted to make sure you didn't feel like you had to." He grinned.
"I'm free Thursday."
"Thursday? This week?" My eyes widened. I drafted this speech over the weekend, so I could do it, but Thursday was not so far away.
"At least you'll have a practice run-in before you have to give your speech to Mr. Santos next week."
He nudged my arm with his.
"I can come over after school."
Thursday worked out perfectly because Carl and Rosa were both at the hospital, and the likelihood of either of them stopping by the house was slim. Or I could just ask them if it were okay if Ryder came over to help. I found myself nodding. Class kicked off with us breaking into small groups of fours for practice runs of the speech, and I felt like hurling all over the place. Luckily, I was paired up with Hector and Ryder. Unluckily, I was also paired with Paige. There wasn't a lot of relief. Or a lot of practice. Neither boy had their speech ready. I had a rough draft that I really did not need to read out loud. Paige had a speech, I guess, but she also had her cell phone in one hand, hidden in her lap, and her hand was on Ryder's leg. Anytime she looked in my direction, she smiled, which was a vast difference from this morning. As Hector scribbled down something to practice, I watched Ryder and Paige, but mostly Ryder, because I kind of couldn't help myself. He'd sucked his lower lip between his teeth as he sketched. No speech writing going on there. I leaned over. His brows were lowered in concentration. His wrist flicked in varying degrees of motion, creating short strokes with his pen. Within seconds, he had an entire strand of flowers drawn, complete with the beginnings of what appeared to be baby's breath.
"You should be working on your speech instead of staring," Ryder said, never taking his eyes off his notebook.
Paige's dark eyes flew to me, and then narrowed. Heat exploded across my cheeks.
"And you should actually be working on, I don't know, your speech?"
Hector grinned as he gestured to his paper, which appeared to have actual words on it.
"And please don't stare at him, Mallory. Because of Paige, his ego is already big enough. He doesn't need any help."
"Pendejo," Ryder murmured under his breath. Hector stretched an arm back and extended his middle finger.
"You wish."
I had no idea what was said. Paige lifted her hand from Ryder's leg and jabbed her elbow onto the table. Her chin plopped into the palm of her hand. "So, Mallory, are you excited about giving your speech next week?" I stiffened, assuming that the class had no idea that I didn't have to give my speech like they did. I dreaded them figuring it out.
"Who would be excited about that?"
Hector asked. Paige lifted a slender shoulder as she watched me. "So, are you?" Beside her, Ryder lifted his head. He opened his mouth, and I knew he was either going to say something to distract Paige, or he was going to answer the question for me. I couldn't allow that after the conversation we'd had. I forced my tongue to move. "I won't be giving my speech in class." Warmth seeped into my cheeks as I continued to force the words out. "I have to give mine during lunch."
"What?"
She laughed. Ryder stared at me, surprise shining through his gaze. Tension straightened my shoulders. "I don't have to do it like everyone else."
"Really?"
Her eyes widened as she glanced between the guys. "That doesn't seem fair." My heart dropped.
"Who cares if it is?"
Hector responded, shrugging.
"Doesn't affect me."
Paige leaned back in her chair. "But it's so not cool. The rest of us have to do it, and she doesn't. Why?"
"The why doesn't matter," Ryder said, his gaze still on me. "And Hector is right about this not affecting him or any of us."
I started to respond. Slowly, Paige turned her head to him. "And if it were, say, Laura or Leon who didn't have to give their speech, would you think it was okay?" Ryder broke eye contact with me.
"Yeah, because it wouldn't affect me, and I wouldn't care."
"But you do care," she shot back, and I wanted to slink under the desk because there was no way anyone missed her tone.
"Paige," sighed Ryder as he shook his head. "Let's not do this."
She leaned to the side and stretched her neck out. "Let's not do what, Ryder?"
"Aw, man," Hector muttered under his breath.
Mr. Santos was suddenly there, silencing us as he eyed Ryder's work. I tensed, expecting him to get upset, since Ryder wasn't working on his speech. His absent-minded smile didn't fade as he leaned in, eyes squinting behind wire-rimmed glasses.
"The detail and the shading are amazing. It's like the strand of flowers is going to just come right off the page."
My jaw might have hit the floor. Pink spread across Ryder's cheeks as he lowered the pen he still held.
"Not surprised, though." Mr. Santos clamped a hand on Ryder's shoulder. "Your work has always been on point."
My brows rose. Santos had seen Ryder's work before? And why in the heck wasn't he reprimanding him? Ryder said nothing as Santos squeezed his shoulder.
But try working on your speech now and the sketch later, all right?
Sure, Ryder muttered, dropping his pen onto his desk.
Mr. Santos turned his attention to my paper, and he scanned the page.
Interesting, he murmured, and I cringed.
His smile didn't falter as he stepped closer to my desk. I wetted my lower lip, nervously, and forced the words floating in my head to reach my tongue.
I am not very good at writing speeches.
I paused, taking a deep breath.
Or at giving them.
There. I spoke to Mr. Santos all on my own, without anyone speaking on my behalf. I sat a little straighter.
Public speaking is much like art. Being good at it is very subjective, Mallory.
Pressing my lips together, I lifted my gaze to him, having no idea where he was going with this.
But it's all about trying.
Santos nodded at my paper, and suddenly I wondered if he was talking about my mad dash out of the classroom the first week of school and the subsequent call with Carl and Rosa. I hadn't tried then.
It's not about getting it right the first time, and it's definitely not about perfection. But if you try, you succeed, just like you would in art, or in life, for that matter.
He then patted my shoulder.
And by the looks of it, you're trying.
I blinked slowly. Santos roamed off back to the front of the class.
What in the actual hell? Murmured Paige.
I looked over at Ryder, and his grin was slow, but the dimple in his right cheek appeared.
Deep thoughts,
he murmured. My nod was just as slow.
How did you not just get in trouble?
I'm gifted.
I narrowed my eyes on him.
And how does he know about your artwork?
Hector snorted as he looked up from his paper, responding before Ryder could.
Because when Ryder was a sophomore, he decided to do some exterior decorating on the outside of Lands High.
Ryder rolled his eyes. He tagged the entrance and got busted the next day because the dumbass wore the same shirt he'd done the tagging in. Paige jumped in, her lips curled up in a smirk as her gaze met mine. Something in her stare told me she was happy to point out that she knew all about this, and I didn't.
Mr. Santos was probably the only staff member that appreciated it.
My gaze swung back to Ryder. His cheeks were a deeper pink again.
I didn't get in too much trouble, he said, not looking at me. It was a misdemeanor. Had to help clean it off, which sucked.
A misdemeanor? I stared at him. How is that not trouble?
Hector laughed, turning back to his notebook.
Misdemeanor isn't a charge you catch that you really got to worry about.
I did not understand that at all. A moment passed and Ryder's gaze slid toward me. His grin was sheepish.
Okay, I was in trouble, but no big deal. Santos actually went to bat for me, so I didn't have to actually find a way to pay for the damages. That's why I had to clean it up. I bet you didn't know that Santos had one of Ryder's sketches placed in a gallery in the city, do you?
Hector asked.
That was the part about Santos going to bat for him. Told him he needed to produce something that could be on display, you know, not on the side of a wall.
My mouth dropped open for the second time.
What?
Kayete, bro.
Ryder leaned forward, glaring at Hector. Seriously. Hector tipped his head back and laughed.
Where?
I asked. A sigh rattled out of Paige. It's not a big deal. It was just graffiti on a canvas.
That is still a big deal, I stated. No pauses there.
She rolled her eyes. Ryder shook his head as he focused on his sketch.
It doesn't matter.
I thought it did.
That sounds amazing.
Something in my tone drew his gaze to mine, and another long moment passed before he responded.
It's down at City Arts. Or it was, no idea if it's still up.
I wanted to see it if it was, because that was extraordinary. So much of Ryder was the same from before, the kindness, that unshakable protective instinct. But there was so much I didn't know about this older, newer Ryder.
Shaking my head, I looked back at my speech without seeing the words. I thought about what Santos said. It made sense. Life was like doing this speech. It wasn't necessarily about the end result, but more about trying. I could get behind that. As class ended, Hector announced, "I'm hungry."
"Okay," Ryder responded as I shoved my notebook into my bag. "What exactly do you want me to do about it?"
Hector grinned as he glanced over at me and winked.
"I want you to take me out and feed me."
Ryder snorted.
"We can hit up Firehouse. I'm in the mood for their fries and fried hamburgers."
Standing, Ryder lifted his arms and stretched. His shirt rode up, baring a sliver of his stomach. My gaze dropped and focused in. His lower stomach was unbelievably taut. Defined. Nice. Very nice. Cheeks flushing, I looked away and caught Hector's knowing gaze. Crap. I needed to be better about checking out guys, like incognito style. I didn't even look in Paige's direction to see if she caught me.
"You should come with us," Hector suggested.
I blinked. Was he talking to me? He was, because Ryder lowered his arms and glanced over to where I was, which was still sitting in my chair.
"You want to grab something to eat?"
"Of course she does," Hector replied. "She wouldn't turn down our company. Who would?"
Goodness, he and Jaden were very much alike. Ryder's grin was lazy.
"So, what do you think?"
My mind raced over the possibilities. Besides Ainsley and my family, I'd never gone out and grabbed food with anyone else. I most definitely had never gone out to eat with one guy, let alone two. Carl and Rosa would probably flip. Okay, they would absolutely flip. But I wanted to. Heart thumping in my chest, I felt myself nod. Ryder's grin spread, and the dimple in his right cheek blessed the world once more.
"Perfect. You want to ride with us?" he asked, "since we know where we're going."
"Works for me," Hector replied. "I can drop you back off at the school later."
That made sense, so I nodded again.
"Good."
Ryder paused, his smile reaching his eyes.
"But there's just one thing you're gonna have to do first."
My brows rose.
"You're going to have to get up."
I got up. Paige spoke as she rose from her own seat. "I can't go with you. You know I have to watch Penny on Mondays."
"Hell."
Ryder scrubbed his fingers through his hair as I wondered who Penny was.
"Want me to pick you and your sister up something to eat? I can swing it by afterward."
Her head cocked to the side. "Are you serious? You're going anyway?" "Oh, no." I stepped back, slinging my bag over my shoulder. This was not going to end well. Not at all. Ryder faced his girlfriend as he spoke to us.
"I'll meet you guys outside, okay?"
"Sure," murmured Hector, and when I didn't move, he gently cupped my elbow. "Let's go."
I let Hector guide me out of the classroom. We didn't speak, not the whole way outside. I wanted to talk about what had just happened, but as usual, I said nothing as we neared the parking lot. It wasn't hard. I could talk. I talked in front of him before. I could do it now. It was easy. Clenching my hands, I focused on the backs of the people in front of us and pretended I was talking to Carl or Rosa, or even Ryder. The words came unstuck, slowly, sort of painfully. "Maybe I shouldn't go." "There." I said it. Thank Jesus and baby animals everywhere. If my speaking surprised him, he didn't show it.
"There is no reason for you not to."
Stopping by his escort, I looked up at him. Tiny balls of nervous energy filled my stomach. Standing out here talking to him was not easy, no matter what lies I'd just told myself. I can think of one big reason why. A small grin appeared as he walked to the rear of the car and tossed his book bag into the back.
"Paige?"
I nodded. He chuckled, and I didn't think it was very funny. Coming back to where I stood, he leaned against the driver's door.
A moment passed.
I don't think Ryder knows what he's doing. I don't think he ever knows what he's doing.
I frowned. What does that mean? Hector studied me for a moment, and this time he laughed under his breath.
Just thinking out loud.
He paused as he scratched at his chin.
You know, by this time in any other school year, Ryder would have been in in-school suspension at least twice. Hasn't gotten it once so far this year.
I didn't like the sound of that, but I was glad it appeared to be in the past.
He also used to be out tagging every night he didn't work.
He continued, eyeing the pathway Ryder would be coming up. He didn't really spend that much free time with Paige, you get me? I totally did not get him.
He's respectful of my abuelita, don't get me wrong. But Ryder has always been...
Has been... What? I asked, brushing a strand of wind-blown hair out of my face. His moss-green gaze drifted to where I stood.
He's always been here, but not.
I knew what that meant. My chest clenched as I looked down at the oil-stained asphalt. Here, but not. Existing, but not living. I knew that feeling. Lived it for several years. Some days it felt like I was still wearing that feeling like a heavy jacket buttoned up too tightly. I didn't know Ryder felt the same, or that others had noticed that about him. And that... Well, that made me sad.
Here he comes.
Hector pushed away from the car. Looking up, I saw Ryder jogging along the pathway. He slowed as he reached our car. Paige wasn't with him. I searched his face for some clue of what happened as Hector got into the car. His jaw was a firm line. My throat dried. Is everything okay? Ryder's brow furrowed.
Yeah.
Maybe I
don't.
He stepped toward me, chin lowered.
I know what you're going to say. Don't. What happened back there doesn't have anything to do with you.
I stood still. That had everything to do with me. Ryder looked away, a muscle flickering along his jaw. A moment passed.
You're right. In a way, you're right. But that doesn't change that Hector invited you or that I want you to come with us.
The window rolled down and Hector stuck his head out.
You guys coming?
I looked at Ryder, still unsure.
Please.
He didn't speak it. He mouthed it.
I was going.
20 minutes later, I found myself at a small diner that was only a couple of miles from the school. From the looks of it, the diner at one time had been a legit firehouse, which obviously explained the name. The place was old, from the vintage photos hanging on the wall to the red vinyl booths. It had a homey feel to it, as if at any given moment, you'd hear the older woman behind the register yelling at her son, who was cooking the food. I had no idea if that was the case, or if it was family-owned or whether the kind of unhappy-looking woman perched on a stool had any kids, but that was the feel of the place. I liked it. All of us ordered virtually the same, hamburgers and fries. Ryder and I added cheese. Hector added every condiment under the sun. The food was delicious, so much better after forcing myself to eat the mystery meat at lunch. I was glad I'd decided to go. It was almost like there hadn't been a reason for me to not have gone. I was having a good time listening to the guys giving each other a hard time. Sometimes Hector would slip into Puerto Rican, and Ryder would respond in kind. I got the impression they were insulting each other. I learned that cállate meant shut up, which was something they said to each other often. I kept my phone in my bag. On the way here, I'd sent Rosa a message that I was grabbing a bite to eat with friends and then I'd be home. The text, a text that millions of normal teens probably sent every day, but that was all new to me, left me feeling a little giddy, and I turned my phone to silent so I wouldn't stress out if Rosa tried to get in touch with me. My phone had vibrated in my bag about 15 minutes into the drive. I didn't need to look to know it was either her or Carl. When I got home, I would tell them that I was driving and couldn't answer. I did feel bad, for the lying part. Admittedly, it did not stop me from enjoying this. Hector leaned back in the booth and patted his flat stomach.
Aw, man, that hit the spot. I could live off their burgers.
Beside me, Ryder snorted.
As much as you eat here, you already do live off them.
Whatever,
he replied, grinning as he shifted forward, dropping his arms onto the table.
I eat different stuff here.
Like what?
He rolled his eyes.
Let's see, I get their hamburger sub.
I grinned.
That's practically the same thing as a regular hamburger,
Ryder said, as he sat back and dropped his arm along the back of our booth.
Try again.
His eyes narrowed.
I get their onion rings.
That doesn't count.
Ryder tapped my shoulder with his fingers.
Does it?
I shook my head.
You're not helping,
Hector replied as he snatched a fry off my plate. So much like his brother. Ryder chuckled as he shifted in the booth next to me.
You got to work tonight.
Hector shook his head.
Nah, tomorrow though.
Where do you work? I asked.
At some place really cool,
he replied without missing a beat. I peeked up at him. He smiled.
At McDonald's.
Which is why you'd think he'd eat something other than hamburgers,
Ryder added.
Firehouse hamburgers are not the same as McDonald's. I can't even believe we are having this conversation.
Hector looked at me.
Anyway, I started there about a year ago. It was the quickest and easiest place to get hired. My abuelita's social security isn't cutting it.
I felt Ryder's fingers brush my hair as he said,
Mrs. Luna also works, full-time. I'm trying to get Jaden to get an app in.
Hector lifted a hand, scrubbing his fingers through his hair.
He can work there at 15, as long as he gets a permit.
Pausing, he glanced over at Ryder.
That ain't going over too well. He wants everything easy and fast, except easy shit isn't no way easy.
Ryder was quiet, but I felt there was a wealth of words unsaid. They were planning to meet up with some guys to play basketball, so we left shortly after that, and Hector drove me back to my car. There were a few still left in the parking lot. Football and cheerleading practice was going on, their shouts heard from off in the distance. Ryder followed me out of the car, walking around the back to join me. He waited as I opened my door.
Thanks for coming out. It was good.
Looking up, I was startled to see that his cheeks were deeper. He was blushing again, but I didn't quite follow why. I'd started to learn that happened when he was complimented or when attention was drawn to his artwork. He wasn't comfortable with it, but I didn't get what was making him uncomfortable now. He wrapped his fingers around the edge of the car door as I tossed my bag onto the front seat.
So, yeah. Thanks.
I grinned at him, while Hector tapped the side of his car. Thanks for letting me tag along. He tipped his chin down.
You weren't tagging along. You were right there with us.
My grin skipped into a smile. I liked the sound of that. But then I remembered what Hector had said earlier. So were you. Ryder blinked, and then he said softly,
Yeah. I was.
I glanced over his shoulder. I'm sorry about Paige. Our gazes met and held for a long moment before he looked away.
I am too.
Having no idea how to respond, I settled in behind the wheel.
Yo!
Hector shouted and then smacked the side of his door from the driver's seat.
They're gonna start without us.
Ryder started to close my door, but bent down instead. Our gazes connected again. An eternity stretched out. And then he leaned in. My heart stuttered when his lips brushed my forehead, lingering for several seconds.
I probably shouldn't have done that,
he whispered, so quietly I wondered if he'd said it, or if it was just my imagination. But then he spoke louder.
See you tomorrow. Mouse.
Chapter 16.
Mallory, can you come down here?
My stomach tumbled at the sound of Carl's voice. He'd beaten Rosa home from the hospital and didn't waste any time calling my name the second he was through the front door. I glanced over at the nightstand and saw it was close to 9. Part of me wanted to pretend I was asleep, and I knew if he came up here and thought I was, he wouldn't wake me. But that was such a chicken way out of things, especially when I'd made the choice to go out with Ryder and Hector. Scooting off the bed, I made my way down the stairs, my fingers twisting my hair. In my chest, my heart was pounding wicked fast. I wouldn't lie, I told myself. If Carl asked who I was with, I would tell the truth. Because as corny as it sounded, they deserved the truth. But I was petrified. Carl was in the kitchen, pulling a bottle of juice out of the fridge. He was in his scrubs.
Not going to beat around the bush with you, Mallory. I was surprised when Rosa texted that you were grabbing food with friends after school.
Folding my arms over my chest, I watched him grab a glass out of the cabinets. Is it so strange to think I'd do that? He looked over his shoulder at me, dark eyebrow raised.
With Ainsley, no. But in the 4 years you've been with us, Ainsley has been the only one you've been comfortable enough around to spend time with.
He paused as he poured ruby red juice into the glass.
And you didn't answer the phone when I called.
I was driving. I was such a liar. Then I just forgot about it. When I got home, I started on my homework. Not such a lie. And while he screwed the lid back on the juice, he didn't seem like the statement was suspicious.
Who were you with?
He asked. I wanted to lie, but I also didn't want to. Strange. Biting the inside of my cheek, I prepared myself. I was with Ryder. Carl's head whipped in my direction so fast I was reminded of The Exorcist.
Ryder?
He echoed. I stiffened all over and could barely nod as I struggled to get a breath through what felt like my throat sealing shut. Ryder and his friend, Hector. We went to Firehouse.
The Firehouse Grill?
He asked, brows slamming down.
That isn't in the greatest part of town, Mallory.
I didn't think the part of town was that bad. We just ate burgers and then I came home. It was fun. Carl took a drink of his juice as he eyed me over the rim of the glass.
Who is Hector?
Explaining who Hector was, I grew more and more aware of Carl's displeasure. He's really nice, works at McDonald's and has a younger brother named Jaden, who is really funny. Their grandmother, Mrs. Luna, fosters Ryder. I rambled on, shifting my weight from one foot to the next. And we all have speech class. Ryder is going to help me.
He's helping you with your speech.
He sounded doubtful. I nodded and then added, yes, he knows I struggle with these kind of things, and even though I don't have to deliver my speech in class, I still have to practice. We're going to practice after school on Thursday. The man seemed to stop breathing.
You made plans with him without talking to us.
Uh-oh. I shifted on my feet again. I didn't think it was a big deal. I need the help.
And Ainsley can't help you.
Double uh-oh. Ryder is in my class, so it makes sense to practice with him.
And what about this Kiera girl?
He rapid-fired back at me.
Isn't she in your speech class?
Damn it. He remembered me saying that. Of course he did. But I had a valid reason why I hadn't asked Kiera. That would be too embarrassing to practice in front of her, and Ryder knows how I am. Carl opened his mouth and then closed it as he set the glass on the counter. He got that.
I'm not exactly thrilled about this. You haven't seen this boy in years, but you're going out to eat with him, and now he's helping you study.
I swallowed hard, but he's my friend, and that's normal.
Not for you.
I flinched as I took a step back. Not for me. Never for me. The giddiness I'd felt after sending them such a normal text vanished.
the feeling wasn't lasting because normal was never for me.
I don't mean it like that, he quickly added, reaching out and putting his hand on my shoulder. And I'm sorry if it came across that way, but you don't know him, Mallory. Not anymore.
I know him, I insisted, looking up and meeting his gaze as I pushed the momentary hurt away. He's a good person.
I'm not saying he isn't.
Carl dropped his hand and sighed as he turned sideways, unclipping the pager from his waistband.
At least I hope he is. You never really know someone, not even family sometimes. People show you what they want you to see. You have to remember that.
I didn't understand what he meant by that. I mean, I did get it. After all, it wasn't like the caseworkers knew how Mr. Henry and Miss Becky really were. They'd hit it well. But what did Carl really know?
He continued, I want you to be careful, Mallory.
The corners of my lips started to turn up.
I will.
Carl studied me for a moment, then he nodded.
Where will you be studying on Thursday?
I shrugged a shoulder. I guess here?
Those brows rose again. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with you being here alone with him, he said,
and I thanked myself for not telling him that Ryder had already been here when they hadn't been home.
Then again, I'm not exactly comfortable with you being anywhere.
With him? I stilled. He shook his head and smiled faintly.
With any boy, Mallory.
My cheeks heated. We're just going to study, and he has a girlfriend, remember? A burn hit my chest as I spoke the words, because I thought about the way Ryder had kissed my forehead earlier, and then said he shouldn't have done that. And he really shouldn't have. Even if a kiss to the forehead was as chaste as they came, it still hadn't been right.
I know.
He pinched the bridge of his nose. Several moments passed and I grew antsy. I have homework, I told him. Carl lowered his hand.
Don't stay up too late.
When I started to turn, he stopped me.
Thank you for telling me the truth about who you were with.
My brain actually cringed, because I had been lying about the whole not answering the phone thing. But I forced a smile, and then I all but ran up to my bedroom. Carl had thanked me, but it was obvious he wasn't happy about me hanging out with Ryder. Or maybe it was just because Ryder was a guy. I hoped it was just because he was a guy, and not because Carl had something against Ryder. I couldn't even fathom why he would. But the truth was, I really didn't know this Ryder very well. Carl was right about that. But this Ryder couldn't be that different from the Ryder I loved as a child. I was sure of it. Ryder walked me to my car after speech the following day. He was quiet, though, not saying much as I opened the back door of my car and tossed my bag on the back seat. I worried it had to do with what happened between him and Paige, and the chaste kiss on my forehead that I knew he had to have regretted. Or maybe it had to do with the fact that Paige had been a no-show in class today. Keys in hand, I closed the door and faced him. He stepped to the side and opened the driver's side door for me. I murmured my thanks and started to slide in.
Hey, he said, staring at the stained asphalt. I was thinking about Thursday.
His lashes lifted, and air slowly leaked out of my lungs.
We're still on, Mouse.
My response was immediate, even though my stomach flipped over. I nodded. Yes. His lips kicked up.
Really?
He sounded surprised, and I didn't understand why, and I wasn't going to let myself think about Carl's conversation last night.
Cool. Looking forward to it.
So was I. But those three words were frozen among the swell of anticipation and excitement. Ryder wanted to hang out. Holy crap. This was like a red alert. I so needed to talk to Ainsley immediately. Ryder grinned as he shoved one hand in the pocket of his jeans.
Okay, then.
Okay, I managed to whisper. He dipped his chin and started to turn away, but then stopped. Like yesterday, he lowered his head and pressed his lips against my forehead, and also like the day before. I felt that brief sweep of his lips all the way to my toes. My heart joined my stomach, flip-flopping all over the place. Ryder straightened and took a step back, tapping his notebook off his jeans.
See you tomorrow.
And unlike yesterday, he didn't say he shouldn't have done that. When I got home, a spicy scent lured me into the kitchen. My stomach grumbled, and I might have started drooling the moment I spotted the cheesy enchiladas cooling on the counter. They were drenched in homemade queso, my favorite. Dropping my bag on the floor, I skipped over to where Rosa was placing the plates on the table. I wrapped my arms around her from behind and squeezed. Rosa laughed as she turned. It's the queso, isn't it? Nodding, I dropped my arms and stepped back. My tummy growled again as Carl carried the baking pan over to the center of the kitchen table. I wanted to plant my face in it and slurp it down.
Hey there, Carl said, tossing the oven mitt into an open drawer as he looked up. How was school?
Good. I washed my hands and then grabbed a soda out of the fridge. Carl narrowed his eyes at my choice of drink, but said nothing. Good thing, because he'd have to pry the Coke out of my cold, lifeless fingers. Rosa grinned as she tucked an errant strand back behind her ear. There's also salad. Make sure you're eating that, too.
Salad? Who wanted salad when I had beefy enchiladas smothered in cheese? Come on, now.
The look on my face must have given away what I was thinking, because the salad bowl magically ended up closer to where I sat. As I plopped down at the table, a horrible thought occurred to me. Did Ryder have warm dinners ready for him when he got home from school or the garage? Hector had said his grandmother still worked. Did the boys have to fend for themselves? Rosa cut out two enchiladas and placed them on my plate. Did he get meals like this? Someone scooping out his food and placing it on his plate for him? I didn't enjoy the enchiladas as much as I normally would. And the chit-chat between Rosa and Carl, the ease and the warmth, felt amplified by the knowledge that I was so incredibly lucky. Not like I hadn't realized that every single day since Carl walked into my hospital room, but tonight I felt like I needed to really acknowledge it more often. I was lucky.
Did you look at the papers I left in your room this morning? Carl asked.
Papers? My thoughts raced, until I realized he was talking about the pamphlets on the bioengineering and biology departments at University of Maryland. I hadn't looked at them, so I shook my head. Carl squinted as he lifted his glass.
You have early acceptance at UM, so there is time, but declaring a major is important. You really need to be taking that seriously.
Considering I had several years before I really needed to do that, I thought I was taking it seriously.
Need to make sure you're still focusing on the ultimate plan, he continued. Picking the right major will decide your entire future.
My eyes widened. That sounded intense. The first 2 years of college are so important to gaining an early assurance into George Washington's medicine and research programs. Rosa smiled, like she always did whenever she spoke of George Washington. She was an alumni, as was Carl, and that had been Marquette's plan. Go to UM, and then gain early assurance into George Washington. Getting into any med or science-related graduate program will not be easy. Planning starts way before you start your freshman year. I shifted uncomfortably as I focused on my plate. Trying to picture myself studying bioengineering or chemistry sort of made me want to break out in hives. Not that I couldn't do it. I liked to think I was smart enough, but It didn't excite me. There was a pause, and Rosa said,
Can I ask you something, honey?
I nodded once more. She placed an arm onto the table and leaned toward me.
Is this what you want to do?
My heart turned over heavily. This was the first time that question had been asked of me. I sat back in my chair, unsure of how to answer because I didn't know. If I didn't follow this plan, what plan would I have? What did I want to do? I knew I wanted to do something that helped others, a job that meant something at the end of the day. I knew I wanted that because I was given a huge second chance. I wanted that to mean something. But spending a life in a lab,
wasn't the only thing that helped people. There were police officers, psychologists, social workers, and teachers, and... social work. A twisting motion in the pit of my stomach felt like excitement. Social work? I blinked once and then twice. Something about that felt right, like it totally made sense for me, who had grown up in the system, to want to give back. That kind of job would be super hard to see the kinds of things social workers had to deal with. But what if I could stop what happened to Ryder and me from happening to another child? To help them know that they were real, that they were wanted and loved. That would mean something at the end of the day. That would mean something for a lifetime. Taking a deep breath, I open my mouth.
Of course that's what she wants to do. Carl laughed. It's all we've ever talked about.
Rosa arched a brow.
If that's what she wants, then I think she would have looked at the pamphlets.
Carl squinted again. I squirmed some more. I am interested in that, but there are a few other things I want to check out. The squint increased.
Like what, Mallory?
My fingers tightened around my fork. Maybe social work?
Social work? Carl laughed again. You'll never be able to pay back the student loans required to get that degree.
My lips pursed as Rosa shot him a look.
What?
He shook his head. That wasn't even a serious answer from her. Anyway, there's something else we need to talk about.
I cut off a huge chunk of enchilada as the conversation veered away from college studies to another topic I would just as soon avoid.
Carl told me about tomorrow, Rosa announced, as I was about to shove a huge forkful of enchilada into my mouth.
I froze, eyes wide. Round two was about to begin.
I think it's a good idea.
Huh. My gaze darted to Carl. He was cutting his enchilada with his fork in short, stabby motions.
But I do have a favor to ask, she continued, sitting back in her chair, and I went still, fork halfway to my mouth.
Try setting up a study date when we're actually home.
Holy balls.
Rosa smiled at me. Carl kept murdering his food, and I finally put the fork in my mouth. Okay, round two was not happening. After dinner, I cleaned up and stored the leftovers in the fridge. They'd be perfect for tomorrow when I, oh my God, hung out with Ryder, and then grabbed my bag and headed upstairs. Carl and Rosa were settled in the living room, and I could hear the Jeopardy music playing. Once upstairs, I opened up my laptop and clicked on the Messenger app. Ainsley was online. Clicking on her icon, I sent her a message. You there? A bubble appeared below, and then her response. Always. I carried my laptop over to my bed and sat down, resting it in my lap. I need your advice.
I am your sensei.
Ryder is going to come over after school tomorrow and help me with my speech, and I'm not sure if I should have extra soda and food. I paused. And stuff. The bubble immediately popped up.
Wait a sec, back up. Ryder is coming over to your house tomorrow?
I grinned, because I could practically see her face in my mind.
Yes.
Do Carl and Rosa know? The grin faded and my stomach knotted.
Yes.
I paused. Carl wasn't too happy about it, but Rosa was okay.
Mallory Dodge, I'm so proud of you. You're no longer a rebel. LOL.
My fingers flew over the keyboard. Should I have soda or some food?
You normally have that stuff at the house anyway, so yes, I guess.
Ainsley was right. I already had those things and I was being stupid. But as I stared at her message, I wondered if it was smart to bring him here. Maybe studying at my house was too intimate, and also not the coolest idea. As much as Paige was a complete jerk to me, she had valid reasons. Ryder coming over to my house would just be another reason for her to dislike me. My mind raced over the possibilities. We could just go to the library. They had private study rooms. Going there would fix the problem about what snacks to serve. There would be no makeup retouching. That was probably another good thing. I wasn't that great at putting makeup on, and my face couldn't handle a lot. Ainsley, on the other hand, could teach the beauty vloggers a thing or two. Satisfied with my decision, I relaxed. I think I'll just ask if we can go to the library. A couple of moments passed before she responded. Why? I think it's just smarter, I sent back after a few seconds. His girlfriend wouldn't be happy with him being at my house. Who cares about his girlfriend? Ainsley. I'm just kidding, she typed back, though you'd think if it was a problem, he wouldn't have agreed to come over to your house in the first place. Good point. It's just easier to go to the library. The bubble reappeared. You're weird, but I still love you, and I have a question for you. A serious question. Totes serious. My brows rose. Okay. Do you like Ryder? Like, really like him? The knots were making another appearance, but for a totally different reason. Did I like him? The knots were pretty telling, but saying it made it real and something I couldn't take back. And I couldn't make it real. I liked Ryder. Really liked him, in a way that was so different than when we were kids. It was like being 12 all over again, but the crush this time around was much more powerful. And I knew it wasn't right to have those feelings. He had a girlfriend, and no matter how much I liked him, that wouldn't change. I was okay with that. I had to be. What I was beginning to realize I felt for him belonged only to me. It was all mine, and no one else needed to know about it. I exhaled slowly. I didn't respond, but Ainsley did with, "That's what I thought." I waited for her to say more, but when she didn't, I typed, "Are you still there?" A minute or two passed, and then her bubble popped up. "Sorry, Mom was in here making sure I wasn't setting up meetings with random 30-year-olds on Facebook." Knowing she wasn't joking, I laughed. Another message from Ainsley popped up. "Text me and let me know how tomorrow goes. I'll need some entertainment while waiting at the doc's office." I frowned and quickly typed back, "What doctor?" "Mom is taking me to the eye doctor to get new glasses." "Didn't you get new glasses last year?" "Yeah, but I don't think the prescription is good anymore. I have crap eyes. Plus, I think I need to get prescription sunglasses. The sun is so bright. Anyway, I'm going to be bored waiting, so I expect updates." I stretched out my legs. "I'm not sure if there's going to be any exciting updates." "Oh, there should be." She added a smiley face. "There better be." Setting my laptop aside when the conversation ended, I threw my legs off the bed and walked over to where I left my bag on the desk. I fished out my phone and went to messages. I bit down on my lip as I sent Ryder a quick message about practicing in the library. Once done, I placed the phone on my bedside table and then picked up my history text and got down to studying. It wasn't until it was close to 9 o'clock that my phone dinged. I picked it up, seeing that it was a text from Ryder.
"That's cool," he'd responded.
For some reason, I wondered if it really was. Chapter 17. Thursday officially became the day that would never end. The hours ticked by slowly, and I turned into a nervous little freak when I left the class before speech and Ryder wasn't waiting for me. Immediately, my brain went into worst possible scenario mode. What if Ryder wasn't in school? What if he really didn't want to help me with my speech? What if he bailed? What if he didn't want to jeopardize his relationship with Paige? All of these things felt like very real possibilities. I hurried to class and took my seat in the back, my eyes glued to the door. Paige came into class, and I almost didn't recognize her. She was wearing loose black sweats and an oversized shirt. Her hair was pulled back at the crown in a ponytail, one not as sleek as before. As she drew closer, I could see that her eyes were slightly swollen. She took her seat, and as she dropped her bag onto the floor, she turned her head toward me. "What the hell are you staring at?" Flushing, I cast my gaze back to the front of the classroom. "Stupid bitch," she muttered, and I flinched. Retorts formed and then fizzled out on my tongue. I pressed my lips together, inhaling through my nose. Next into class was Hector. He strode in, smiling at something Kiera was saying. My chest squeezed at the ease in which she spoke and laughed with him. God, I wanted that. My throat thickened, and I told myself that if Ryder didn't show, it wasn't personal, even though I knew I was going to take it personally. Just when I was about to faceplant the top of my desk, Ryder moseyed on into class, notebook in hand and sleepy grin on his lips. Of course, he hadn't bailed. Tension eked out of my shoulders, and I told myself that I needed to get a grip.
Yo.
Hector nodded at him as he passed his desk. Ryder murmured a response and then took his seat. He leaned over toward Paige, speaking too low for me to hear. I saw her shake her head. He put his hand on her arm. Surprise flickered through me when she jerked away. She slammed her textbook down on the desk, and I thought I heard him sigh. He glanced over at me.
Hey, Mouse.
Hey, I replied softly. And that was the extent of what I said to him the entire class, which probably didn't bode well. I was suddenly so incredibly nervous as we packed up our stuff at the end of the class, and Ryder waited for me.
We heading straight over?
He asked. I nodded, noticing that Paige had already exited the classroom. He arched a brow and said nothing as we filed out of the room, waving goodbye to Hector and Kiera. It was a good thing that I was driving, because I could focus on that instead of the internal freakout that was occurring. We were heading to the library that was about a 20-minute drive from the school, and I was white-knuckling it the moment we pulled out of the parking lot. Ryder noticed, of course.
You doing okay over there?
He asked. I nodded, and then cleared my throat. I wanted to ask him about Paige, but the plug was filling up my throat. So stupid. I never had that problem with him, but I was just too stuck in my head. I needed to get my mouth to work. Is everything okay with you and Paige? It was painful, but I managed to get the words out. A moment passed.
Not really.
Do you want to talk about it? I asked.
No.
Okay, I breathed.
I want to talk about anything other than that right now, he added. Okay.
I tightened my grip on the steering wheel as I glanced up at the red stoplight. I could do that, even though I was more than curious about the whole Paige situation now. But there was so much I wanted to know about him. How? Did you? I glanced up at the red stoplight, mentally stringing together a litany of curse words until my tongue untied. I was so nervous it was like it was 2 years ago. How did you start working at the garage? He didn't answer immediately because I probably caught him off guard with the pure randomness of my question. I flushed and squeezed down on the steering wheel. I was just wondering about it, so I thought I'd ask. Sorry.
No, it's cool.
When I peeked at him, he was staring out the windshield.
Razorback Garage is about a block or so from where I live, so I saw the owner, Drew, often. We talked whenever we crossed paths, you know. Sometimes I would hang out at the garage because they had this detailer who did amazing work. Anyway, about a year ago or so, I got busted for tagging, unrelated to the school thing.
You get caught a lot, I said, turning right.
Ha, yeah. Apparently, anyway, Drew ended up hearing about it. So when I saw him again, he asked me to show him some of my stuff, and I did. He liked it. Thought it was pretty cool. The rest is history.
I slowed for another stoplight. That's really amazing.
I'm lucky, he replied,
grinning then.
Drew pays me pretty good.
Because you're really good at what you do, I told him. The dimple appeared.
I could, show you some of my work at the garage, if you want. I mean, it's not that exciting, and you'd probably like to do something else, but
I'd love to. My heart was tripping over itself. His dimple hung around for that. Do you save the money from working? I asked.
Nah, I spend it on liquor and girls.
I shot him a look.
Ryder chuckled. Yeah, I saved the money. I'm 18, going to graduate in May. Need to be looking toward the future. Got to get a place. The checks will stop coming in, and even though I know Mrs. Luna wouldn't kick me out, it isn't right.